Upland Bible Church, Pastor Richard J. Olson, 920 Upland Boulevard, Las Vegas, Nevada, 89107, Sunday, First Class, April 14, 2024, Romans.
Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing through the teaching of God's word. And therefore, open the word of God to Romans chapter 7. Romans chapter 7. And in preparation to worship our Lord this morning, a few moments of silent prayer, shall we? Father, we thank you, sir, for your infinite and your matchless grace. And we thank you, Heavenly Father, for the preservation of the canon of Scripture, the eternal and absolute truth of your word, that spiritual food, that manna from heaven, which enables us to grow up in the grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, that we might fulfill the very plan, will, and purpose that you have for each one of our lives. And as we assemble this morning to fellowship in the Word, we ask that our teacher, God the Holy Spirit, will set apart the absolute truth of Scripture to the nourishment and to the benefit of each one of our souls. We pray these things in Jesus Christ's name, amen. Romans chapter 7, verse 4, sounds like this. Therefore, my brethren, royal family, you also were made to die with reference to the Mosaic law. The Mosaic law was the marriage counselor of the first marriage. Our first marriage was from physical birth to salvation. Our husband was the sin nature. Now, there's nothing wrong with the Mosaic law. The Mosaic law is perfect. The Mosaic law is from God. Everything's right about the Mosaic law. As the marriage counselor to us as unbelievers, it said, you got a bad marriage. There's nothing wrong with the Mosaic law, but there's everything wrong with the old sin nature, the first husband. And the purpose of the law is that you got a bad marriage. And not only that, your children are not so great either as unbelievers. Sin, human good, and evil. So, you have a bad marriage. Secondly, the solution. Codex number 2. The Lord Jesus Christ. So there's nothing wrong with the Mosaic law. He was a great marriage counselor for us as unbelievers. But now that we are believers in Jesus Christ, we have a new marriage counselor, God the Holy Spirit. So verse 4 again, therefore, my brethren, you also were made to die with reference to the Mosaic law. He's no longer our marriage counselor. We place our faith in Jesus Christ. By means of the body of Christ, with the result that you might belong to, be married to another of a different kind, that is, the new husband, the Lord Jesus Christ, through faith in him. To the one, the Lord Jesus Christ, who was raised up from the dead, for the purpose that we might bear fruit for God. Now, that is a very important phrase in Romans 7, verse 4. We have hina plus the subjunctive of the verb karpophoreo. Now in the Greek, hina plus the subjunctive introduces a purpose clause. The purpose of our new marriage to the Lord Jesus Christ is now found in this verb, karpophoreo, which is a compound verb made up of karpos, fruit, plus the verb phoreo, to bear. So literally, it means to bear fruit or to produce crops. Bearing fruit, producing crops, refers to the children of our new marriage, the new marriage to the Lord Jesus Christ. The purpose of our marriage to the Lord Jesus Christ is to have children, to produce fruit. And in our old marriage to the sin nature, we also had children, sin, human good and evil. Nothing great about that. And we will study the children of the first marriage when we get to verse 5, Romans 7, 5. We have the children of the first marriage when we were unbelievers. But now in our new marriage to the Lord Jesus Christ, through faith in Christ, we produce the fruit of living the spiritual life. And that includes several factors. It includes the fruit of the Spirit, Galatians 5, 22 and 23. The fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, generosity, fidelity, tolerance, self-control. That's part of the fruit of this new marriage. That karpophoreoin bearing of fruit also results in attaining spiritual maturity. And when you attain spiritual maturity, now you have more fruit. You have the fruit of virtue love. You have the fruit of personal love for God the Father. You have the fruit of impersonal love for all mankind. You have the fruit of occupation with Christ. And you have the fruit of maximum divine good production in your life. And we see this in Ephesians 2, verse 10, which says, "For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, maximum divine good production, karpophoreo, for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them." This should characterize the Christian way of life. And then in 1 Corinthians 3, 1 Corinthians 3, verses 12 to 14. Go ahead and turn over to 1 Corinthians 3. 1 Corinthians 3, 12 to 14. In 1 Corinthians 3, verse 11, it says, "For no one can lay any foundation other than the one already laid, which is Jesus Christ." So you have placed your faith in Jesus Christ. He now is the new husband for you as a believer from salvation forever. Now, after salvation, faith in Christ, if any man builds on this foundation of faith in Christ using gold, silver, costly stones, that's karpophoreoing. That's divine good production. Production produced from the filling of the Spirit, living the spiritual life. Gold, silver, and precious stones. Or wood, hay, and straw, that's living in Satan's cosmic system. His work will be shown for what it is. Because the day, the judgment seat of Christ, will bring it to light. It will be revealed with fire. And the fire will test the quality of each man's production. The fire will test the quality, whether it is gold, silver, and precious stones, or wood, hay, and straw. If what he has built survives gold, silver, and precious stones, divine good production, karpo pharaoi, he will receive his reward. However, if it is burned up, wood, hay, and straw, human good, dead works, and evil, he will suffer loss of rewards. But he himself will be saved, but only as one escaping through the flame. So that karpo phoreoing, bearing fruit, is not only the fruit of the Spirit, Galatians 5, 22 and 23. It's the result of living the spiritual life, attaining spiritual maturity, having virtue love in your heart, personal love for God the Father, impersonal love for all mankind, occupation with Jesus Christ, and maximum divine good production in your life. Ephesians 2:10, 1 Corinthians 3:12-14. And this can only be accomplished by living the unique spiritual life of the church age by the spiritual skill. The power of God, the Holy Spirit, the filling of the Spirit, and the teaching ministry of the Spirit, consistent and faithful metabolization of Bible doctrine, resulting in executing God's plan, God's will, and God's purpose for your life. Maximum metabolized doctrine in the heart is the spiritual seed, the seed that is planted and then brings forth the fruit that glorifies our Lord Jesus Christ. This bearing of fruit is to the glory of God. So again, our verse says, therefore, my brethren, royal family, you also were made to die with reference to the Mosaic law. He's no longer the marriage counselor in your life because you placed your faith in Jesus Christ, by means of the body of Christ, with the result that you might belong to, be married to, another of a different kind, the Lord Jesus Christ, to the one, the Lord Jesus Christ, who was raised up from the dead, resurrection of Christ, for the purpose that we might, karpo phoreo, bear fruit for God. And then we began to summarize verse 4, and we've studied the first six. I've given you 6 points on the summary. Point 1 was Christ died twice on the cross that we might be born twice. He died spiritually to provide salvation. He died physically because his salvation work was finished. And then our first birth is natural generation in which God the Father creates human life and imputes it to the soul at physical birth. And then our second birth is regeneration, by which God the Holy Spirit creates from his omnipotence a human spirit for the imputation of eternal life by God the Father. Spiritual birth, physical birth, and spiritual birth at salvation, faith in Christ. This anticipates the principle of divine power to live the spiritual life. So point 2, we noted that the power that resurrected Christ from the dead is the same power delegated and made available to every church age believer for the fulfillment of God's plan, will, and purpose for your life. Point 3, the royal family of God is designed to be empowered by divine power so that we might glorify God to the maximum, that we might bear fruit for God. Romans 7:4, karpo phoreo. This becomes the highest destiny ever given to any group of believers in any dispensation. Point 4, In physical death, our Lord Jesus Christ had a trichotomous separation, totally unique. First of all, his body went into a grave. Secondly, his human spirit went into the presence of God the Father in the third heaven. And third, his human soul went into the first compartment of Hades called paradise, where all Old Testament believers resided until the resurrection of our Lord Jesus Christ. Point five, when we die, our soul and spirit go into the presence of the Lord in heaven. For we are said to be absent from the body and face to face with the Lord, 2 Corinthians 5, verse 8. So there is no splitting up of the soul and the spirit in the death of the believer. But our Lord's physical death was totally unique. Our Lord's body was in the grave for 3 days and three nights. Then point six, when the work of salvation was finished, our Lord said to God the Father, Father, into your hands I commit my spirit, his human spirit, Luke 23:46. And we stopped at that point in our summary last time. So, point seven. He also said to the dying thief in Luke 23:43, today you will be with me in paradise. So he dismissed his spirit to the third heaven with the Father, but he said to the thief, today you will be with me in paradise. His soul, the Lord Jesus Christ's soul, went into paradise, which was a compartment of, in the Hebrew, Sheol, in the Greek, Hades. Turn over to Psalm 16. Psalm 16. Psalm 16 is, the human author is David. Most of the Psalms were written by David, man after the Lord's own heart. Psalm 16, verse 10, for thou wilt not abandon my soul to Sheol, neither wilt thou allow thy Holy One to see decay, the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Now, turn over to Acts chapter 2. Acts chapter 2. Acts chapter 2, starting at verse 22. Men of Israel, listen to these words. Jesus the Nazarene, a man attested to you by God with miracles and wonders and signs which God performed through him in your midst, just as you yourselves know. This man, delivered up by the predetermined plan and foreknowledge of God. This is the part of the incarnation plan of the Father for the Son, Operation Grace, to provide salvation for mankind. Delivered up by the predetermined plan and foreknowledge of God, you nailed to a cross by the hands of godless men, and you put him to death. And God raised him up again, putting an end to the agony of death, since it was impossible for him to be held in its power. For David says of him, I was always beholding the Lord in my presence, for he is at my right hand that I may not be shaken. And therefore My heart was glad, and my tongue exulted. Moreover, my flesh also will abide in hope. Verse 27, because thou wilt not abandon my soul to Hades, Psalm 16:10, nor allow thy Holy One to undergo decay. Thou hast made known to me the ways of life. Thou wilt make me full of gladness with thy presence. Verse 29, brethren, I may confidently say to you regarding the patriarch David that he both died and was buried, and his tomb is with us to this day. Verse 30, and so, because he was a prophet, he knew that God had sworn to him with an oath to seat one of his descendants, the Messiah, the son of David, Jesus Christ, upon his throne. Verse 31, he looked ahead and spoke of the resurrection of the Christ, the Messiah, that Jesus Christ was neither abandoned to Hades, nor did his flesh suffer decay. This Jesus God raised up again, to which we are all witnesses. Turn over to Ephesians chapter 4. Ephesians chapter 4. Verse 8. Therefore, it says, when he ascended on high, he led captive a host of captives. This is the resurrection of Jesus Christ. He led all the Old Testament believers in paradise to heaven with him. So when he ascended on high, his resurrection, he led captive those Old Testament saints in paradise with him to heaven. And he gave gifts to men. Now, this expression, he ascended, what does it mean except that he also had descended into the lower parts of the earth? Paradise, his soul went to paradise. He who descended is himself also he who ascended far above all the heavens, that he might fill all things. So point seven, the soul, the Lord Jesus Christ's soul, went into paradise, which was a compartment of Hades or Sheol. And while he was there, the Holy Spirit guarded the soul of our Lord in Hades, and by means of the Holy Spirit, the soul of our Lord went down to Tartarus. Another as a prison in Hades, Tartarus, where he made the victorious proclamation to certain fallen angels. And that is 1 Peter 3:18-20. Turn over to 1 Peter 3. First Peter 3:18. For Christ died for sins once for all, the righteous for the unrighteous, to bring you to God. He was put to death in the body, but made alive by the Spirit, through whom also he went and proclaimed to the spirits, fallen angels, demons, in prison, who disobeyed long ago when God waited patiently in the days of Noah while the ark was being built. And in it, only a few people, 8 in all, were saved through water. He went down and gave a victorious proclamation to these fallen angels in prison. I won the strategic victory of the cross. I accomplished eternal salvation by my work on the cross. And he gave that announcement, which was a guarantee. You will spend eternity. You're now in Tartarus. You and Satan and all fallen angels will be in the lake of fire forever and ever and ever, because I won the strategic victory on the cross. I accomplished God's plan, Operation Grace, and provided salvation for anyone, any place, anywhere who simply believed in me. So, point 8. So just as our Lord's spiritual death was unique, he was judged for the sins of the whole world. So also his physical death was unique. He had a trichotomous separation. So just as our Lord's spiritual death was unique, he was judged for the sins of the whole world on the cross, so also his physical death was unique. He had a trichotomous separation. Body went to the grave, spirit went to the presence of the Father in the third heaven, soul went into paradise in Hades and Sheol. 9. God the Father is declared to be one of the agents of the resurrection of our Lord Jesus Christ. There are two agents in the resurrection of Christ, God the Father and God the Holy Spirit. God the Father is declared to be one of the agents of the resurrection of our Lord Jesus Christ. Turn over to Ephesians chapter 1. Ephesians chapter 1. Ephesians chapter 1, starting at verse 18. I pray also that the eyes of your heart may be enlightened. And by the way, that's the most important eyes you have. The most important eyes you have, not the physical eyes. The most important eyes you have are the eyes of your heart. To see God and see the Word of God and see truth. That's the greatest sight. You could be blind with your physical eyes, but see beautifully with the eyes of your heart. The most important thing is to see beautifully with the eyes of your heart. I pray also that the eyes of your heart may be enlightened in order that you may know the hope to which He has called you, the riches of His glorious inheritance in the saints, and His incomparably great power for us who believe. That power is like the working of His mighty strength, which He exerted in Christ when He raised Him from the dead and seated Him at His right hand in the heavenly realm. Turn over to Romans 6. Romans 6. Romans 6, verse 3. We were therefore buried with Him through baptism into death. There is retroactive positional truth, the baptism of the Spirit, in order that, just as Christ was raised from the dead through the glory of the Father, Father as one of the agents in the resurrection of Christ, we too may live a new life. So, two agents in the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ, God the Father and God the Holy Spirit. So point 10, the scripture also declares that God the Holy Spirit is an agent of the resurrection of our Lord Jesus Christ. We see that in Romans chapter 1. Romans chapter 1, verse 4. And who, through the Spirit of holiness, God the Holy Spirit, was powerfully declared to be the Son of God by His resurrection from the dead, Jesus Christ our Lord. And then over in Romans chapter 8, Romans 8, verse 11. Romans 8, 11. And if the Spirit of Him who raised Jesus from the dead is living in you, God the Holy Spirit, He who raised Christ from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies through His Spirit who lives in you. And then turn over to 1 Peter 3. 1 Peter 3. 1 Peter 3, verse 18. For Christ died for sins once for all, the righteous for the unrighteous, to bring you to God. He was put to death in the body, but made alive by the Spirit, God the Holy Spirit. So God the Father is declared to be an agent of the resurrection, Ephesians 1, 18 to 20, Romans 6, 3 and 4. God the Holy Spirit is declared to be an agent of the resurrection of Christ, Romans 1, 4, Romans 8, 11, 1 Peter 3, 18. The omnipotence of God the Father sent our Lord's human spirit through billions and billions of light years of space back into His body in the tomb. Simultaneously, the omnipotence of God the Holy Spirit returned His human soul from Hades, paradise, into His body. Now, rejoined in the resurrection body, our Lord walked through the stone. Resurrection of our Lord Jesus Christ. And then later on, an angel rolled away the stone so that the world could see and verify the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. 11. The power that resurrected Christ has been made available to you and to me, as royal family of God, as the divine power to live this unique spiritual life given to us in the church age, and therefore to glorify God to the maximum. The power that resurrected Christ has been made available to you and to me, to every member of the royal family of God, as the divine power to live this unique spiritual life given to us in the church age, and thereby glorify God to the maximum. Now, this power has two parts. Power one, the omnipotence of God the Father is available to you. Power two, the omnipotence of God the Holy Spirit is available to you. So let's take a look at power number one. The omnipotence of God the Father is available to you, related to your portfolio of invisible assets. The omnipotence of God the Father is available to you related to your portfolio of invisible assets. Now, what makes up the portfolio of invisible assets that have been given to us? Four categories: primary assets, secondary assets, personnel assets, unique assets. Primary assets: election to privilege and predestination. The primary assets of our portfolio of invisible assets: election to privilege and predestination. The second, secondary assets. And the secondary assets include four categories. Secondary assets include volitional assets, production assets, suffering for blessing assets, and invisible impact assets. Secondary assets, first of all, volitional assets related to positive volition to God and to the Word of God. Your volition combined with your humility toward God and His Word. Secondly, production assets. And this is Romans 7:4. Carpo foreo, divine good production in your life, that you might glorify God to the maximum. Production assets. Third, suffering for blessing assets. These are given only to the believer when you attain spiritual adulthood. Not to baby believers, not to adolescent believers, but when you grow up in the grace and knowledge of Jesus Christ and attain spiritual adulthood, now you are qualified to receive phenomenal suffering for blessing. It includes providential preventative suffering, momentum testing, and the highest category of all, evidence testing. And then fourth, invisible impact assets. Invisible impact assets. And this includes personal impact. And this is the principle that God has established: blessing by association. Blessing by association. Blessing by association with the spiritually mature believer has phenomenal personal impact. Personal impact on the people around you and your periphery. They may never ever understand why that they are being blessed in such a special way, but they're being blessed under the principle of blessing by association with a spiritually mature believer. Fantastic personal impact. And that includes all different, that includes in your marriage, that includes in your family, that includes with the people in your periphery, that includes the restaurant you go to and the waiters that you have and the people that wait on your table and all those. Everybody you come in contact with, they're being blessed by association with you as a spiritually mature believer. And then there is historical impact. And this is when you reach spiritual maturity, you become a part of the pivot, and the pivot has phenomenal influence. And then international impact, and this is the function of worldwide missions, international impact. So all of these make up the secondary assets: volitional assets, production assets, suffering for blessing assets, invisible impact assets. The third category is personnel assets. God has given every one of you at least one spiritual gift. You may have several spiritual gifts. But those spiritual gifts that God the Holy Spirit has given to you are your personnel assets to glorify God to the maximum. And fourth, unique assets. And the unique assets are the indwelling of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. You're indwelt by the entire Trinity, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. And they're with you every single second of every day. How great is that? The Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit is with you every second of every day. No matter what you're going through, no matter what your problem is or the situation you have in your life, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit is with you every second of every single day. I think about that in my personal prayer life. I always go through the God and who and what He is and the essence of God. And I go through the omnipresence of God. I'm overwhelmed. Father, how? This is the most phenomenal thing of all. You, the Son, the Holy Spirit are with me every single second of every single day. Thank you. Thank you. You know, a lot of you, you're in the times we're living in, you have different kinds of situations and problems. You ought to just, if you know the essence of God, you know who and what God is. First thing you ought to do is thank God. He's already got the solution. He's already solved it. You haven't seen it yet. But instead of worry is a sin, fear is a sin. There should be no worry. There should be no fear. In fact, when you have a problem and situation that's adversity before you, in your personal prayer life, you ought to just thank God. Thank you, sir. I thank you, Father, that you, the Son, and the Holy Spirit are in me every second of every day. And I thank you, you got this all figured out and you will solve it. To you goes the honor and the glory. And that's before it ever happened. And you know, when you present that kind of a mental attitude to God the Father, that's the thing He's looking for. And you will then see the solution. I mean, I've seen this. You get probably tired of hearing some of my illustrations because I repeat these illustrations, but that's okay. Repetition is great, right? And it was, I love to go hunting. I love to hunt and fish. And I've taken my sons with me from the time they were little guys going hunting and fishing. And one time we were up in northern Nevada and I was going up a very steep mountain. And I was on an incline, and I put the, it was a transmission that I put it in park, and then I couldn't, because we were in an incline, I couldn't get it out of park. It was stuck. We were in park on the top of this mountain on an incline. And the boys, Derek and Dave, were looking at me. What are we going to do now? Well, we'll just stay up here and rot. We'll die and rot, and they'll find us rotting in our pickup. No. No, I said, you know what? We're going to pray and thank God. So I said, let's pray. And I said, Father, thank you. Thank you for this opportunity. Thank you for this test. You already have the solution, and I just want to thank you that you're the living and true God. You're the omnipotent God that created the whole universe. You can sure as hell get our pickup off this mountain. Thank you for your grace, and thank you for your power. Amen. As soon as I said amen, here comes a guy up, four-wheel drive. You guys need any help? Yeah, I can't get out of park. And he said, oh, yeah, I know. Let me get behind you. Pulled it back a little bit, got it out of park. I mean, right afterward. Then I turned to the guy, see? That's how great our God is. That's how great he is. But how many times do you, because you believe God and who and what he is, when you have a situation where adversity and testing, how many times do you think, sit down and say, thank you. Thank you, sir, for this opportunity to see you work in my life. I know you got it all figured out. I just want to thank you ahead of time. And then go. There you go. Power number two is the omnipotence of the Holy Spirit. And that's available to you as the power to live the unique spiritual life of the church age. So we have power number one, the omnipotence of God the Father, available to us through the portfolio of invisible assets. And power number two, the omnipotence of God the Holy Spirit is available to you as the power to live the unique spiritual life of the church age. Point 12. Never before in human history has so much divine power been available to so many believers for the glorification of God. Never before in human history has so much divine power been available to so many believers for the glorification of God. You have available to you the greatest divine power. 13. The omnipotence that raised Jesus Christ from the dead will also raise you as believers at the rapture, the resurrection of the church. The omnipotence that raised our Lord Jesus Christ from the dead will also raise you as believers at the rapture of the church. And again, the omnipotence of God the Father will provide the resurrection body for all those who have died, dead in Christ. And the omnipotence of God the Holy Spirit will provide a resurrection body for all those who are still alive on the earth at the time of the rapture. So the omnipotence that raised Jesus Christ from the dead will also raise you as believers at the rapture of the church. 14. Therefore, the victory of resurrection is given to every believer in Jesus Christ. Every believer, regardless of his spiritual status, regardless of whether he is a winner believer, they glorify God to the maximum, or a loser believer who spent most of his time making bad decisions, living in Satan's cosmic system. Doesn't make any difference. You can never, ever, ever lose your salvation. So therefore, the victory of resurrection is given to every believer in Jesus Christ, regardless of his spiritual status. Now, unfortunately, today in the time in which we're living, there are a lot of loser believers. Sad to say, you wish there were lots and lots of winner believers, that the pivot would be huge and large. But today, unfortunately, there are a lot of loser believers making bad decisions, living in Satan's cosmic system, steeped in reversionism, steeped in arrogance. And you know, sometimes these loser believers are far, far worse than unbelievers who have no salvation. Yet every believer, these loser believers will all receive a resurrection body at the rapture of the church. And we have winner believers, the spiritually mature believer, who has become an invisible hero. He has lived the spiritual life. He has virtue, love brought to completion in his heart. He has maximum invisible impact in life. He will also receive a resurrection body at the rapture. So neither winner believer nor loser believer deserve the right to have a resurrection body and to live in the presence of God forever and ever and ever. This is totally the grace and the power of God. Principle. Since resurrection is the Lord's victory, both winner believers and loser believers will spend eternity in the presence of God in resurrection bodies. Since resurrection is the Lord's victory, both winner believers and loser believers will spend eternity in the presence of God in resurrection bodies. Turn over to 1 John chapter 5. Verse 11. And this is the testimony. God has given us eternal life. And this life is in His Son. He who has the Son has life. He who does not have the Son of God does not have life. And I write these things to you who believe in the name, in the person of the Son of God, Jesus Christ, so that you may know that you have eternal life. The same power that raised Christ from the dead is the same power available to each one of us as church age believers. Now, there's if we are going to use this fantastic power, first of all, we have to know that it exists. Secondly, we have to know that it's available. And third, we have to know the mechanics so we use it. Turn over to 1 Peter chapter 1. First Peter chapter 1. First Peter chapter 1, start at verse 3. Praise be to thee, God, even the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. In His great mercy, grace and action, He has given us new birth into a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. And to obtain an inheritance that can never perish or spoil or fade, kept in heaven for you, who through faith are shielded by God's power until the coming of the deliverance that is ready to be revealed in the last time. In this you greatly rejoice, though now for a little while you may have had to suffer grief in all different kinds of trials and testings. These testings have come so that your faith, the Word of God, metabolized doctrine, which is of greater worth than gold. The greatest treasure you can ever have is sitting there in your laps, your Bibles, but getting that treasure in your heart. That's the greatest treasure you can ever have. Of greater worth than gold, which perishes, even though refined by fire, may be proved genuine and may result in praise and glory and honor when Jesus Christ is revealed, the rapture. Though you have not seen Him, you love Him. And even though you do not see Him now, you believe in Him and are filled with an inexpressible happiness, full of glory. 1 Peter 1:3 through 8. Now, first of all, in verse 3, we have a living hope. God has provided the power, the ability, the strength through regeneration, being born again through faith in Christ, and the unique spiritual life of the church age. We have a living hope. God has provided the power, the ability, the strength through regeneration. Regeneration, faith in Christ, justification by faith. At that instant, God imputes His righteousness to us, sets up a grace pipeline, and immediately starts sending down blessings to you. He sends it down to the imputed righteousness that you have inside of you. Spiritual blessings, 40 spiritual blessings that are so phenomenal. They're above and beyond anything we could ever ask or think. Logistical grace blessing, temporal security comes down that keeps us alive in the middle of the devil's world so that we can make good decisions for God. Make good decisions for the Word of God. Make good decisions to grow up in the grace and knowledge of Christ. And then down that grace pipeline comes greater grace blessing. Greater grace blessing for time, greater grace blessing for eternity that will be awarded at the judgment seat of Christ. That all makes up that living hope. Two, in verse 4, an inheritance that can never perish, spoil, or fade is an inheritance based on divine power. In verse 4, an inheritance that can never perish or spoil or fade is an inheritance based on divine power. 3, the power that raised Christ from the dead is the same power that provides eternal security for every believer, winner or loser. The power that raised Christ from the dead is the same power that provides eternal security for every believer, winner or loser. 4, in verse 5, the deliverance refers to the resurrection of the royal family of God, which is accomplished by the omnipotence of God the Father and the omnipotence of God the Holy Spirit. And 5, this passage explains the death of the believer in terms of God's grace. This passage explains the death of the believer in terms of God's grace and the future of the believer in terms of resurrection. So this passage explains the death of the believer in terms of God's grace and the future of the believer in terms of resurrection. And the resurrection belongs to every believer in the Lord Jesus Christ. The first resurrection. All right. We'll take our break and come back in a few for part 2.